Yes.
And there's no question, this Khodorkovsky is a Jewish robber baron. You got a whole bunch of those guys who are billionaires and, you know, and have outrageous sums of money. Where they got it, how they got it, nobody knows exactly. It's all, you know, corruption. All this was, you know, this was under Yeltsin, I guess, right?
Yes.
So, and also this Khodorkovsky, I read this already right after he was arrested, not long after he was arrested. When was that, a year or two ago?
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, after, you know, he is connected to one of the Rothschilds over there in England, you know? He has a contract with them and an agreement with them. He's like a partner with the Rothschilds, you know that?
No.
Yes, check it out. You check it out. He's a partner with the Rothschilds. And so this would basically be a Jewish and even a foreign takeover of, you know, of Yukos Oil. That's what I think they were angling for. They would put the company into maybe, it would be, you know, owned by an English, by the Rothschilds of England. And then if Russia touched the company, then they would say this is like an act of war. You're stealing, you know, billions of dollars of foreign company. You're trying to expropriate a foreign company. So I think that was one of the thoughts of Putin when he arrested Khodorkovsky. You understand? I think this is a good thing that he's doing. A number of these Jewish robber barons are what they're in England and elsewhere, right? Putin is trying to extradite them back to Russia, right?
Yes, sir.
So I think this is good, what he is doing regarding these Jewish robber barons, I think, in Russia. I think this is really excellent, and I was really amazed that he is doing it, because naturally he's getting Jews all over the world infuriated, because, you know, the Jews, they're all working together, you know.
Yes. So, Mr. Fisher, I have to translate.
Okay.
So, Mr. Fisher сказал, что он доволен тем, как политикой президента Путина, и он очень правильно сделал, что арестовал Ходорковского, который имел дела с Росседами в Англии. So, Mr. Fisher, we have next question.
I want to continue. No, so there are a number of these Jewish robber bands, but there's Berezovsky, Abramov, right?
Yes.
A whole bunch of them. And I think he's doing a really good thing regarding them.
Mr. Fisher сказал, что Путин правильно сделал, что арестовал Ходорковского, и, в принципе, то же самое, и наказал таких людей, как Березовский, Абрамович.
Now regarding the war in Chechnya, I don't really understand what's happening there, because I thought that General Lebed had made some kind of peace there. Remember? That was back in the 90s when Yeltsin appointed him, remember, to try and make peace in Chechnya. And I thought it had quieted down, but now apparently it's going again. I would really like to see, you know, if they cannot make peace there, and if the Arab, pan-Arab world and the Muslim world, you know, cannot work together with Russia to bring down the USA, to finish off the filthy USA, you see? I hate to see Russia fighting
USA, yes?
No, I hate to see Russia fighting with the Muslim fundamentalists or with the Muslim world. I'd like to see if they could not work out some kind of understanding and work together to bring down the U.S., you see?
Yes.
Russia and the Muslim and the pan-Arab world, the Arab world, work together to bring down the U.S. I think this is much more productive than fighting this war in Chechnya.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I had to translate it.
Yeah.
Mr. Fisher сказал, что Россия должна работать вместе со всем исламским миром, чтобы опрокинуть Америку.
Я бы хотела все-таки перейти с политической темы к шахматным делам, и поэтому у меня есть вопрос к мистеру Фишеру. Есть ли у вас друзья среди шахматистов российских, и как вы относитесь к тому, что сейчас в шахматном мире произошел раскол, и как вы относитесь к русской шахматной школе, и как вы еще относитесь к уходу Гарри Каспарова из шахмат?
So, Mr. Fischer, what's your opinion about Russian chess school? What do you think about splitting chess worlds on the whole? I mean that there are a lot of tournaments and there is no one world chess champion. What do you think about it?
Well, I don't know if there's no one world chess champion. You're talking to him right now, you know. There's everything that happened back in 75 was completely illegal, you know. But I have absolutely no interest in the old chess. The game is dead. It's just all prearrangement and memorization. But let me get back to this case in Japan, okay? What they did to me. You didn't let me finish. You're jumping from one topic to another, you know?
Okay, yes. Please continue, Mr. Fischer.
Yeah. Okay. They took me to see this guy from the U.S. Embassy, right? I'm over there in jail, right? They mm-hmm. took me into a room to see this guy from the U.S. Embassy, who wouldn't even tell me his last name. He just told me his first name was Peter. Told me his last name doesn't concern me. And incidentally, that's all I say on that internet site. You just go to the statement of facts. And there I explained, it's all explained in detail what happened. So, he's there, and then they destroyed my passport, and then after this guy, the guy from the U.S. Embassy, he said he's going to leave me my destroyed passport, what's left of it, but he didn't leave it, he just took it back to the embassy with him, and then the Jap guards came in right after he left, and they gave me a letter. This is a letter dated December 11th, 2003, from the American Embassy in Manila, the Philippines, okay? And it's signed by Theodore Allegra, all right? It's all on the internet. Now, according to this letter, my passport was revoked on that date, on December 11th, 2003, you see?
Mm-hmm.
But this letter revoking my passport is totally fake. It was just a photocopy, not mm-hmm. the original letter. If there ever was an original letter, I don't think there ever was. It's just a photocopy of a letter with a photocopied signature. It had no address to me on it. No address at all. It just had the Manila U.S. Embassy in the Philippines. It had no address to me. It had no postmark. Had no, nothing. See? So it's a totally absurd letter.
Mm-hmm.
And on this basis, they put me in jail 9 months and never allowed me to see the judge or go to court. I mean, it's totally, obviously a fake letter. Obviously a totally fake letter, you know? No address to me. Has no address on it. I never saw this letter, never heard of it, until after they had kidnapped me arrested me, and destroyed my passport. That's the first time they showed me this letter regarding a revocation. And yes. But the letter is garbage. No signature, no original signature, no postmark, no address on it, a nonsensical letter. And also, they gave me some kind of they showed like the law. These are like photocopies of the U.S. Legal code regarding your passport. But this legal code they gave me was out of date. It wasn't even an up-to-date legal code. So it was just absolutely nonsensical and illegal in every way. This was nothing but a kidnapping. Everyone knows it, you know. The U.S. government is just so filthy and corrupt, just like what they're doing over in Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib prisons, you know, and prisons in Afghanistan, I think, over in Kandahar. And they're just criminal bastards, you know, the U.S. government. Animals, you know.
Yes.
And the Japs are working with them. This Koizumi government, the Liberal Democratic Party, it's not a party. It's just an occupation government of Japan, an occupational government of Japan. The government of Japan has no more legitimacy than the new government, so-called the new government over there in Iraq. It's just a puppet government set up by the Americans.
Мистер Фишер, здесь это транслятор. Мистер Фишер сказал, что его задержание в Японии было совершенно нелегальное, что до этого ему прислали письмо с обвинением в котором не было ни реальной подписи человека, ни марки наклеены. Это было абсолютно подложенное письмо. И в Раде мистер Фишер даже сказал про демократическую партию Японии, которая является абсолютно недемократической, и просто это оккупация Японии. И что его арестовали совершенно незаконно.
Я бы хотела все-таки вернуться к шахматам. Вы, мистер Фишер, изобрели свои шахматы, только, к сожалению, мы не знаем, как их играть, и немножко не могли бы рассказать нам об этом. И как вы думаете, станут ли они популярными?
Mr. Fisher, could we turn back to chess? I mean, your chess, you invented your own chess, right?
Yeah, you know, I have no objection to talk. Yeah, I have my Fisher random. I don't have a, but, you know, I really, we're dealing with a really, you know, outrageous kidnapping by the filthy Jew-controlled U.S. government, and I think it really, you know, it really merits, you know, further discussion. But okay, what do you want to know about the Fisherman? Tell me.
So you invented your own chess. What differs them from old chess? And do you think it will they will be popular with people? I mean, your own chess, Fisher's chess.
I think it will be. The Jews, of course, they don't like Fischer Random because it's a game of skill and it's much harder to prearrange. And also, they don't have any organization controlling Fischer Random. You see, like FIDE controls chess, and then some other upstart organizations also are controlling mm-hmm. chess, but then no organization is controlling Fischer Random, you see?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the Jews, they feel that it's very hard for them to control the game, very hard for them to cheat in the game, and they don't like it at all, but it's a much superior game to chess.
Yeah, but Mr. Fisher, not only Jews play chess, maybe for ordinary people from other nations, your chess will be popular with them.
Yeah, I hope so, yes, I hope so, yes.
So, Mr. Fisher, what do you think about Clinton chess world today? I mean, that there...
I could care less. I could care less about the old chess and the old chess politics, you know? My only interest in the old chess is to show how all the different prearranged matches that have been held. For example, the Kasparov match, 84-85. I've studied that match quite thoroughly. It was prearranged move by move. Every single move of every single game of that match was prearranged.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe all of the Karpov-Kasparov matches were prearranged move by move. I believe the Karpov-Korchnoi matches were also prearranged move by move. Every move of every game.
So the match between Karpov and Kasparov was prearranged, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Well, they played five matches. I believe they were all prearranged move by move, every move of every game. Yeah, this is my honest opinion. But I've studied in particular the first match, 84-85, and there's absolutely no question every move of every game, and every game was prearranged. Yeah, absolutely no question about that. And I'm quite sure all of Karpov's so-called world championship matches were prearranged move by move. And I'm also quite sure that going back even further to his matches with so-called candidates matches with Spassky and the so-called candidate matches with Korchnoi back there in 1974, I'm sure those were also prearranged move by move. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm quite sure. But there's no question at all about the 84-85 match. That I think it was like, 47 games or something?
Mm-hmm.
That was prearranged move by move. There's no question about that. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely
yes,
no question.
Had it translated. Мистер Фишер сказал, что он больше совершенно не интересуется старыми шахматами, и все те матчи, которые сейчас проводятся и которые проводились, они заранее подготовлены, все просчитано шаг за шагом, и заранее известно, кто победит. Например, был такой матч между Карповым и Каспаровым, где также все было заранее оговорено.
У меня вопрос к мистеру Фишеру. Гарри Каспаров говорит о том, что вы являетесь одним из лучших шахматистов в мире. И он очень высокого мнения о вас. Были ли у вас отношения какие-то и дружеские, может быть, с Гарри Каспаровым, и, может быть, вы общались? Что вы думаете о нем как о шахматисте и о его уходе?
Mr. Fischer, we talked with Garry Kasparov, and he said that he supposed you to be the best among chess players. What do you think about Kasparov's living chess? What do you think about him as a man, as a person?
Look, anybody who prearranges matches, right, is obviously a crook. The man is a crook.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, he's an absolute crook, you know. He is a liar, he is a crook, he is a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
I always refer to him as the criminal. I don't even call him Kasparov or by his original name of Weinstein. I call him the criminal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also now he's trying to get involved in politics, you know, against Putin. You know, to me, if Kasparov attacks Putin, that's like an endorsement for Putin, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Мистер Фишер сказал, что он про Каспарова может сказать только плохое, что он все матчи договорные, что Каспаров он лжец и, в общем, криминальный деятель, и то, что он сейчас пытается пойти в политику, устроить кампанию против Путина, это тоже его никак не характеризует с лучшей стороны. So, Mr. Fischer,
this man Kasparov is evil, you know. I have been saying for years somebody should ask Kasparov live about my charges that his match in 84-85 so-called world championship match with Karpov, my charges that every move of every game was prearranged. They should ask Kasparov this, and then tape record his voice live, and you will see he is lying. Then they can run his voice through a voice lie detector. You will see he is lying, but you won't even need a voice lie detector. You'll just be able to tell it from his nervousness. You know.
Yes.
There's no question. The man is, it's so obvious. Study the match. I mean, it's so utterly obvious. Just a second, and I'll be back in about 3 seconds. I just want to get the book. I have the book of the match. 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah, I have the book. This is the Moscow Marathon, you know?
Yes.
This is a book by Spielman and Tisdale. And, I mean, these games are so utterly absurd, you know?
You mean what game? Kasparov against
Kasparov, Karpov-Kasparov, this 1984-85 match, you know? It's just so utterly absurd, the match, you know? So just so obviously, I think it was... 48 games, yeah. 48 game matches. I just wanted to check that, too. 48 game. It's a totally... I mean, for example, one game, this is game number... game number 6 of that match, the 84-85 match, they transposed into another game that had been played before. In an end game, which it would be, it's like a billion to one possibility that they would reach the same position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they transposed into the game. Let's see.
You just could check.
This was a game, McGrillan Formanek, London, 1973. This move. When Karpov played the 51 rook b2, transposes with colors reversed into a game that had been played over 10 years earlier, like 12 years, 11 years, 11, 12 years earlier. Totally absurd. You know?
Yes, I had to translate it. Mr. Fischer сказал, что матч между Карповым и Каспаровым был абсолютно фиктивным, и что те же шаги, которые они делали, например, Каспаров, этот матч уже был им сыгран в 73-м году, и он, в общем, и это доказывает, что он был заранее подготовлен. И также Каспаров лжец, потому что если вы проверите его на детекторе лжи, вы увидите, что он явно нервничает. и поэтому, в общем, говорит неправду.
Сейчас не принимаете участие ни в каких турнирах, то простите за некорректный вопрос, на какие деньги вы живете?
So, Mr. Fisher, our question is about so you don't